has joined.
Good evening. Doug Sumaya.
Sumaya.
Are you the first one?
I guess. I haven't heard anyone else.
Okay. So we will give it some time.
Okay. I'm here.
Good afternoon.
Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. I should say good evening. So please join me in saying Anna Bacoa. Anna Bacoa, Yadula Chimincha, Tati, Serra, Alfred Gimel, Yutak Sadi. Abel Rinat,
has joined.
Baharenu, Dora, Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudka, Yevavat, Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. Barhem Tacharem, Rachame Sitkatcha, Tamid Gamlem, Betet Resh, Sadi Taf Gimel. Hasim Kadosh, Berov Tuvcha, Nael Adata. Et kufbet, et nunayan. Yachid ge'e, lamcha p'nei, zofrei kedushata. Yud gimolamet, et zayin kuf. Shavatenu kabel, ushmatzi akatenu, yodea talumo. Shin Kufav, Sadi Yotah. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notzer Chesed Lachim, Noseawon Wafesha, V'chata'a V'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It comes from Parashat Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. And we will initially say, L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kutcha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bidhilu, Urchimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urchimu. Le'achta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe. V'yehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayino hamadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kananei aleinu maasei yadeinu kananei. Rabbi Abba Amar bekama atar tanei nan dekucha berichu koma deaved leela vetata kola ihu kishot biovada bikshot. But L'dach yale ya mine ya ulan haga. Ve ya kalana hakuru obada. Dig shot inun wikola it's theory. Be alma. The energy of the coming year, the year 5781, is the energy of the redemption, or a possible redemption. Whether it manifests or not is up to us. By studying this verse from Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 21, it helps to bring that manifestation. The translation, and I will also take from them for Kohanim, the priests, and Leviim, the Levites, people to work in the temple. That is to say, even from among those who were sunk among the Gentiles, in far off, islands, and who did not go up from the exile together with their brothers, the house of Israel, and who may possibly have changed the religion somewhat, I will nevertheless take Kohanim and Levites from them also, from those who were originally from the priestly and Levitical families. I will take them to be priests to minister before me, and Levites to sing and play harps and lyre. The energy of our current year, 5780, as a revealed energy of compensation and a concealed energy of Shefa. And the manner that we reveal the Shefa and connect it to the compensation is by studying a verse in the Tanakh that connects to both energies. Tonight we will study a verse from Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4. Atishpod otam, atishpod ben adam, et hoevet. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. There is one verse from the Tanakh that we study. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. This verse and the study of this verse connects to the energy of peace in the Middle East. Wasamti makom leamili Israel untati vishakan takta willo yergas od willo yosifu vene avla laanoto ka asher barishona. The eighth verse of the Anabakoa, we say in a whisper. Our handout today and our material that we're studying today for the holiday of Tu B'Av is lengthy. And so I am not going through the balance of our normal connection, because the study, the holiday itself, helps to make those connections. You will find the handouts on the unique astrological times sheet And that link is underneath the two pictures on the right of every YesShem webpage. When the landing page, the Unique Astrological Times landing page, opens up, scroll down almost to the end, where you will see the word 7 weeks of comfort. Shabbat Nachamu precedes Tu B'Av, which is Hag Zivug, or the day of love, the holiday of love. There are three links. We will be using the first link and the third link. Just for your information, the second link is the Ma meditation, which we will utilize as part of our study. We are going to start out with a Lashem Yehud, and then we'll start with the third link that is titled The 45 Days to Rosh Hashanah, the 45 Meditations to Rosh Hashanah. L'shem Yehud Kodesha Baruch Hu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'achta L'shem Yud Hei Bavavhe Be'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kerenei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kerenehu. Is there any questions? Tu B'Av, in addition to being the day of love, is a book. Obviously, there's something static going on, so I'm going to mute everybody, unless you please mute yourselves by pressing star 6. Thank you. So in addition to being this holiday, which is a very unique holiday, in that it's not a holiday, but for a non-holiday in the Jewish calendar, this is the highest energy day. Please mute your phones by pressing star 6.
We're
going to
get some more.
I've muted you so that you'll be able to unmute your phone by pressing star 6 to ask questions.
Okay.
Please be aware of that you're unmuted.
Has joined.
Okay. So you are muted. You'll need to press star 6 to ask any questions. And as I was saying, the holiday of Tu B'Av is a very powerful holiday. It's the most intense, energy-intensive day of the year. Relative to the 365 days that are not holidays. These 45 days between now and Rosh Hashanah, we are taught to do additional studies. Actually, I'm going to read a very short item that's not on the website. It's a from an email that I get that I utilize for the different aspects of our weekly emails. And this particular one came today, and it's titled Increasing Nighttime Torah Study from the 15th of Av. One should increase one's study of Torah at night onto Ba'av. We learn from the Gemara of Irubin that the nights were created for the purpose of studying Torah. The Shulchan Aruch states that one should make the effort every night without missing one night to study Torah. The Rama, a commentator, adds that a man learns the majority of his wisdom at night. The reason why one should increase the amount of Torah study that one does from the 15th of Av is because that is when the nights start to lengthen. So nighttime study of Torah is highly recommended. We are also taught that the study of the Tikkuni Zohar should take place nightly, starting with the first day of Elul, and to run for the 40 days until Yom Kippur. Those 40 days, it's designed to complete the study of the Tikkuni Zohar. And I can tell you that's a lot of material to go through in 40 days. But we start earlier. And during the month of Elul, we'll do some additional meditations, including the Eight Kings, who were kings in Edom prior to there being a king in Israel. And even more meditations, the Ma meditation, it's best to do during these 45 days commencing tonight. So we are now going to think about Rosh Hashanah, which is one of the connections of Tu B'Av. The number 45 is the Gematria of Adam. Aleph, Dalet, Mem, Sofit. And Adam, in Hebrew, has the meaning of mankind. It means men and women in unity. And one mitzvah that we received, and we have always received, is to be holy. Tihiyu Kedoshim. The Kotzker Rebbe, one of the Hasidic Rebbes, adds, first be a mensch, then be holy. To become a mensch, we have to define what is a mensch. And the word mensch in Yiddish means a good person. Be a mensch. According to tradition, one can begin to greet others with Lashana Tova, have a good year from tonight, from Tu B'Av. And now comes the question, why do we begin this greeting from Tu B'Av, which is 45 days before Rosh Hashanah? Why don't we begin on Rosh Chodesh Elul, which may seem a more likely time? as Elul is exactly a month before Rosh Hashanah. And the whole month of Elul is considered preparation for the new year. According to Kabbalah, the fact that Tu B'Av is 45 days before Rosh Hashanah is significant, very significant. And it's connected to the Talmudic debate over which month the world was created. Was it Tishrei, the month in which Rosh Hashanah, the new year of years, falls? Or in Nisan, the month in which Pesach falls? And which is the new year of the months? Both sides make numerous arguments, but the Talmud reaches no definitive conclusion. Rabbeinu Tam, a later commentator, but he's actually the grandson of Rashi, explained the underlying unity of both opinions. The world was created in potential, or in the thought, in Tishrei, and in actuality, in Nisan. But actually, that could be a confusion designed to conceal wisdom, as many of the Kabbalists conceal their thoughts by misdirecting the information. So there are some people who say that the potential of the year was started in Nisan, but the actual year happens on the seventh month on Rosh Hashanah. And that's what the Torah says. The beginning of the year for you, mankind, is in Tishrei, which is the actual, whereas Nisan is the potential. The word for thought in Hebrew is makshava. When those letters are permutated, they spell chodesh or choshav ma. To think of ma, to think of the essence of a matter, because ma is equal to 45, and thus can be read that this allegorically as God began to think of creating the world 45 days before Rosh Hashanah. That day is Tu B'Av. This year, the evening of August 4th through sundown of the 9th of the 5th of August. What this tells us is that we too should already begin the process of thinking about the essence of our lives and how we can be better or stronger or deeper, in effect, a mensch or a menschette, and how we can become a self-actualized Adam, a self-actualized person, to coincide with the birth date of Adam on Rosh Hashanah. It's no coincidence that 45 is also the gematria of the name Adam, which is a person or a man or a woman, man and women. We thus have a 45-day program to think about the essence of our lives. In doing so, we call the famous teaching of Hillel. Umakom she'ein anashim, ashedatai lehayotish. In a place when there is no men, strive to be a man. In short, be a mensch. We have 45 days until Rosh Hashanah, the birth date of Adam, to contemplate this directive, to use it as the basis of our teshuvah, of our mistakes against Hashem, our mistakes against others, our mistakes against ourselves. L'shana tova. And this next section is essentially the Ma meditation, which is coming from the word makshava, meaning thought. You're familiar with it because we've been doing it as part of our nightly rituals. But it's been a while because of the various 3 weeks meditations between, because of many different reasons. But tonight we begin it again. Yud, yud, hey, yud, hey, wav, yud, hey, wav, hey, yud, yud, hey, yud, hey, wav, yud, hey, wav, hey, yud, yud, hey, yud, hey, wav, yud, hey, wav, hey, yud. Yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey yud, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey. During the next 45 days and beyond, return to this meditation several times daily to become an atom, a mensch, to contemplate what it means to be a mensch, to be a good person. And this is a good meditation to cleanse one's thoughts at any time during the year. Now we're going to the first link from the Unique Astrological Times handout. Landing page, the first link under the Tu B'Av. For those people who are sensitive to metaphysical energies and moods, Tuesday night, August 4th, 2020, is a special day. It's the highest energy day that is not an actual holiday of any day during the year. The start of the day is at sundown tonight, Tuesday, August 4th. As the Torah tells us that it was evening and then morning, day one. It doesn't say first day. It says Yom Echad, translation, day one. Learn from this that a day starts in the evening and thus the spiritual energy changes at sundown. The holiday is called Tu B'Av. It's the 15th day of the Hebrew month of Av. The 15th day of every Hebrew month is a full moon. The energy of the full moon is the sun is sharing all of its energy with the moon. There's no lack in the moon on this day. There's no part of the moon that's not reflecting light to Earth. This day, Tu B'Av, is the equivalent of Valentine's Day from the Western calendar. And these are the following reasons why this is true. The month of Av is controlled by the sun, which represents the male or the sharing energy. The 15th day of each Hebrew month is the full moon of that month. Why does the moon cycle from new to full to new again? The moon represents the energy of receiving, which is female. Receiving represents desire and desires of change. Desires actually change. The full moon represents the time when the full male energy is being shared, the full female energy of receiving. This is represented by the Hebrew word zivug, means sexual intercourse. It has many other deeper meanings than just the physical act of intimacy. And that is why this day is so powerful. Use the energy of the day to your benefit. The best way to do that is to share happiness with someone or with everyone. Sharing happiness, sharing gratitude will make other people happy. And this is the energy of Tu B'Av, appreciation. Appreciate the other person in your life, your spouse, your significant other, your children, your family, the people that you are learning to love. Who are the people you're learning to love? They're the ones who make your life the most difficult, who ask you to look at yourself because they represent your mirror. It is a very happy day tomorrow, Wednesday. Of course, not everyone will be happy, mostly because they have never learned that Tu B'Av is the day of happiness, the day of gratitude. The above is what I wrote in the year 5771 about Tu B'Av. And below us pasted additional information that came from a teacher, Rabbi Rachmiel Zaharia Lev. Here is what he wrote for distribution. It has some of the information above and some additional information. Scarlet. And scarlet is the 15th day of Av. And the daughters of Israel used to go out in garments of scarlet, as it is written, that were brought up in scarlet, which is a verse from Pesha, the scroll that we read from Ecclesiastes on Tisha B'Av. They were brought up in colored garments. Zohar in the Parasha Atruma. The holy Zohar in the above selection correlates Tu B'Av, the 15th day of the month of Av, with the color scarlet, which is a form of red. We Jews have a troublesome history with this color. Notwithstanding the popular segula amongst some to tie the red string around their wrists to combat the evil eye. According to the teachings of Rabbi Ariel Bart Sadok of KosherTorah.com, this color red represents gevura, strength, and din, judgment. So much so that we should never, according to the Kabbalah, wear any red on our bodies, nor paint our homes red. The correlation with Tu B'Av is therefore surprising, given that it with Yom HaKippurim is considered one of the happiest days in the Jewish life cycle. My comment. Only 6 days before Tu B'Av, the holiday of Tish B'Av, took place. As we will see below, Tu B'Av is a day of a miracle relating to the generation of the desert called the generation of knowledge, Dor Deah. It is through the wisdom of the Kabbalah teaching about consciousness that we have this machloket, this argument that searches for truth between the teachings of Rabbi Bart Sadok in the above paragraph and the teachings of the Kabbalah Center a few paragraphs above that. The Kabbalah Center teaches that the red string, when properly prepared, with the consciousness of the matriarch Rachel and the energy of the full moon on the positive months of the Hebrew calendar, and activated with the proper consciousness and tied with seven knots. Three above, Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet, then changing the direction in three below, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, and then changing direction again and tying the final knot as Malchut, will act as a protection shield, just like the shield of David, Magen David, for the specific issue of Lashon Hara. Of course, it is to be used as a reminder for us to stop saying, to stop hearing, to stop allowing and being involved with Lashon Hara. The way to reconcile this machloket is to realize that Rabbi Bar Tzedek is speaking to people about people who learn Kabbalah at the Peshat level, while the teachings of the Kabbalah Center is for people learning Kabbalah at the Drash and Sod levels. The choice is yours, and this is my opinion. A brief history of Red and the Jewish people. Our primordial ancestor, Adam, was created from the Adama, the earth. Adama is close to Adomeh, meaning red, for much of the dirt or earth can have a reddish tinge to it. So Adam was the first red man. While there are differing versions of the creation, we know that the name Elohim, representing Gevurah, was part and parcel of the first 32 mentions of a creative force in Genesis. So Adam has a Gevurahdic inspiration. And we know how his story ended. Based on his desire and his passion, he fell. That desire, perhaps, too, is symbolized by red, the unfortunate color of blood that was spilled with his son Cain, took out of desirous jealousy, killed his brother Abel. We jump to the patriarch who looked like Adam, Yaakov Avinu, who poured some of that red stuff down his twin brother Esau's throat in the sale of the latter's birthright. Esau, of course, was called Edom, red, because he was born red, and his blessing was to live by the sword, a weapon whose sole purpose is to bring forth more red, more blood. Fast forward to King David, who was given 70 years of life from Adam's life. King David was born red and had a good eye. This showed that David's job was to use his warrior skills to pave the world for his kingship and for the Mashiach, his namesake. The red passion and judgment aspects, on the other hand, prevented him from building the temple, which was reserved for his son Shlomo, who was from the source of peace, Shalom, not divisional judgment. The Holy Torah describes the Para Aduma, the red heifer, whose task was to be used as a tool to mitigate the judgment of disembodied death residue when it was combined with the sweetening waters of kindness. Its blood was sprinkled and it was burned with cedar wood, with hyssop, and scarlet stuff, all things red. When it was thrown into the fire, a reddish flame came forth. Rashi notes that the Para Aduma's job was to take care of the problem of its daughter, the golden calf, formed out of a passionate desire to have a physical connection, to replace Moshe, who was thought to be deceased, Chas v'Shalom. Moshe being the physical channel to Hashem. The worshippers only attracted the fire of God when they got up in the morning to sport passionately. Two, the gold color, according to the Zohar, has a reddish tinge to it. The worship of other entities, of course, is problematic for any Jew. The heavenly body Mars, called Ma'adin, literally means the red planet and is associated with Gevurah in many mystical correlations, angel is Samkel. Its influences are blood, wickedness, strife, external injury, war, hatred, and jealousy. This is a Baraita from Shmuel HaKatan. The Baraita was the source of the writings in the Talmud. Baraitas were the notes taken by students listening to their teachers, but they were not allowed to write down word for word. It's their notes to remember for themselves. And then that was used after they were dead by their students until the Talmud wrote it down once and for all. Based on the Tikkuni Zohar 70, its day of the week is Monday, a day of judgment. And its letter is Gimel, or Gamel, or Camel, related to the angel of death in the Zohar. And others teach that the letter He created the planet Ma'adim. Why Tu B'Av is importantly read. The following history is taken from Practical Judaism, published by Feldheim Publishers. Six events occur on Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, making it a festive day in the Jewish calendar. My comment. This is a reminder that Kabbalah teaches that no physical event in history is a cause of anything. It is always the effect. The fact that negative or positive things happen on a given day is not significant to the understanding of the essence of the day. Yet the fact that something physical happened in history on a day does help us to understand the energy of the day. If a day is negative, then usually negative events happen on that day. If a day is positive, then usually positive events happen that day. Of course, we must realize that as it relates to the children of Israel, our human perceptions do not apply to a win-lose scenario or concept. The temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av by the Romans and Nebuchadnezzar. These other nations appear in the illusion of history. They appear to be winners, while the children of Israel appear to be losers. Actually, both are losers, in that the temple tool or connection to the Creator has been lost. Actually, both are winners, since the exile produces a process that teaches appreciation for all the nations and cultures. Human understanding of winners and losers is a corrupt perception caused by the illusion of physicality. The Mishnah tells us that no days were as festive for Israel as the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. What is Tu B'Av, the 15th of the Hebrew month of Av? In which way is it equivalent to Yom Kippur? And our sages explain, Yom Kippur symbolizes God's forgiveness of Israel for the sin of the golden calf in the desert, for it was on that day that he finally accepted Moses' plea for forgiveness of the nation. And on that same day, Moses came down from the mountain with the new adjusted set of tablets. And just as Yom Kippur symbolizes the atonement for the sin of the golden calf, Tu B'Av signifies the atonement for the sin of the spies. Where the 10 came bearing such negative reports, which reduced the entire nation to panic. As a result of that sin, it was decreed by God that the nation would remain in the desert for 40 years. And in that no person 20 years or older would be allowed to enter the land of Israel. On each Tisha B'Av of those years, those who had reached the age of 60 during that year died. 15,000 each Tisha B'Av. This plague finally ended on Tu B'Av. 6 positive events occurred on Tu B'Av. Within each, there is added a short red connection. Event number 1. As noted above, the plague that had accompanied the Jews in the desert for 40 years ended. That last year, the last 15,000 people got ready to die. God, in his mercy, decided not to have that last group die. Considering all the troubles they had gone through, now when the ninth of Av approached, all the members of the group got ready to die, but nothing happened. They then decided that they might have been wrong about the date, so they waited another day, and then another. And finally, on the 15th of Av, when the full moon appeared, they realized definitely that the ninth of Av had come and gone, and that they were still alive. Then it was clear to them that God's decree was over, and that he had finally forgiven the people for the sin of the spies. This is an unwritten commentary, and the thought really just occurred to me just now. These 15,000 people had gone through 40 years, 40 ninth Tisha B'Avs, and on each of those nights, they went out into the desert and dug their own grave and lay down in their grave, knowing that they would die on Tisha B'Av. And they went through 39 Tisha B'Avs. They went through the anticipation of death 39 times. And we know 39 relates to the Tal, the dew, the Tet Lamed, the Hebrew word that represents the dew, the anointing oil. And the 39 that represents the aspects of creativity, creation, that was performed in the temple when it existed, and the sages decreed that we may not do those forms of creativity. And what does anticipating death 39 times mean? Is it possible that we can avoid death by anticipating to die 39 times? I'm continuing to read. This is what was meant by our sages when they said, no days were as festive for Israel as the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. For there is no greater joy than having one's sins forgiven. On Yom Kippur for the sin of the golden calf, and on Tu B'Av for the sin of the spies. In the book of Judges, Tu B'Av is referred to as a holiday. The red connection is this. Red is the color of the life force given by one's mother, the reddish blood included. On this day, the soul, which is the blood, was not taken from the group, and the result was passionate happiness. In addition to this noteworthy event, there are 5 other events. Events 2 and 3. Following the case of the daughters of Zelophehad, the daughters who inherited from their father when there were no sons were forbidden to marry someone from a different tribe, so that land would not pass from one tribe to another. Generations later, after the story of the concubine of Gibeah, the children of Israel swore not to allow their daughters to marry anyone from the tribe of Benjamin. And this posed a threat of annihilation to the tribe of Benjamin. And each of these prohibitions was lifted on Tu B'Av. The inheriting daughters were allowed to marry outside of their tribe, and the vow against allowing a daughter to marry into the tribe of Benjamin are the two prohibitions and the two events taking place on Tu B'Av. The people realized that if they kept their prohibition, one of the 12 tribes might totally disappear. As to the oath that had been sworn, they pointed out that it only affected the generation that had taken the oath, and not subsequent generations. The same was applied to the prohibition of the heiresses marrying outside their own tribe. And this rule was applied only to the generation that had conquered and divided up the land under Joshua, but not future generations. This was the first expression of merging of all the tribes, and was a cause for rejoicing. In the book of Judges, it is referred to as a festival to the Lord. Over the generations, this day was described in Tractate Ta'anit as a day devoted to betrothals, so that new Jewish families would emerge. The red of the blood that had been spilled in the civil war with the tribe of Benjamin now was not a barrier to their intermarriage between tribes. Two heiresses need not marry in their own blood, their tribal relatives. Event number four. After Jeroboam split off the kingdom of Israel with its 10 tribes from the kingdom of Judea, he posted guards along all the roads leading to Jerusalem to prevent his people from going up to the holy city for the pilgrimage festivals. For he feared that such pilgrimages might undermine his authority. Only the king from the tribe of Judah could sit in the holy temple. King Jeroboam feared that when the 10 tribes went up to Jerusalem, they would see his brother king sit, while he was not able to sit, because he was not a king in Israel. As a substitute, he set up places of worship, which were purely idolatrous, in Dan and in Bethel. Thus, the division between the two kingdoms became a fait accompli and lasted for generations. The last king of the kingdom of Israel, Hosea ben Ela, wished to heal the breach and removed all the guards from the roads leading to Jerusalem, thus allowing his people to make the pilgrimage once again. And this act took place on Tu B'Av. All idolatrous worship is a child of the golden calf, which was the so-called greatest inappropriate service in our history. This gold is really a reddish-based color. On this day, the guards preventing our true service were removed, and the red was neutralized. And my commentary. There was an event on 2006 on the 10th of Av, in the land of Gaza and the West Bank to the Palestinian people. And this was the tikkun of the souls of the soldiers and settlers involved with event number four. During the period when there were guards on the road, there were some deaths of Jews by Jewish guards. The souls involved with the action of giving the land to the Palestinians corrected these previous deaths and balanced the universe. This is my opinion. Event number five, at the beginning of the Second Temple period, the land of Israel lay almost totally waste, and the wood needed to burn the sacrifices and for the eternal flame that had to burn on the altar was almost impossible to obtain. Each year, a number of brave people volunteered to bring the wood needed from afar, a trip which was dangerous in the extreme. Now, just every wood could be brought, and not just every wood could be brought. Wood which was wormy was not permitted, and dampness and cold, weather in the mountains of Judea and Benjamin, are ideal conditions for the breeding of worms in wood. As a result, all the wood that would be needed until the following summer had to be collected before the cold set in. The last day that wood was brought in for storage over the winter months was Tu B'Av, and it was a festive occasion each year when the quota needed was filled by that day. The fire, of course, has a register tinge, and the wood provided the fuel to feed it. Event number 6. Long after the event, the Romans finally permitted the bodies of those who had been killed in the defense of Betar in the Bar Kokhba revolt to be buried. This was a double miracle, in that first, the Romans finally gave permission for the burial, and second, in spite of the long period of time that had elapsed, approximately 7 years, the bodies had not decomposed. The permission was granted on Tu B'Av. In gratitude for this double miracle, the fourth and last blessing, or the grace after meals, was added, which thanks God as He who is good and does good. He is good in that the bodies had not decomposed, and does good in that permission was given for the burial. These slain bodies, bloody and torn, were in the same condition. Many years later, they were buried in the Adama, the ground related to Edom, permission from the Edomites, the Romans. To this day, we celebrate Tu B'Av as a minor festival. We do not say Tachanun on that day, nor are eulogies rendered. By the same token, if a couple are getting married on that day, as we will see below, it is the custom for the bride and groom to fast on their wedding day. Neither of them fasts if they marry on Tu B'Av. Beginning with Tu B'Av, we start preparing ourselves spiritually for the month of Elul, the prologue to the coming days of Av. The days begin to get shorter. The nights get longer. The weather, too, helps us to take spiritual stock. The hectic days of the harvest are over for the farmer, and the pace has slowed down considerably. Even on a physical level, the heat of the summer makes it hard to sit down and think things out. Now that the days and nights are cooler, it is easier to examine one's actions. In earlier times, it was a custom, already from Tu B'Av, to use as one's greeting, "May your inscription and seal be for good." Ketiva v'chatima tova. The same blessing that we today use on Rosh Hashanah. Those who work out the gematria values of different expressions found that the phrase adds up to 928, and so does the words for 15th of Av when spelled out. Our time is up. We are not through with this handout, and so we will utilize the balance of this handout in our 11 o'clock class tomorrow morning. We will complete it. So please keep the handout safe. Keep the same location available, as we will begin here where it says, "Love as fire." Gemar Chatima Tova, Happy New Year, and may the year ahead in 5781 manifest the redemption. Shalom Gadol. Are there any questions so far? And I'm going to unmute your phone. Are there any questions?
No questions.
Hug Samoa. Have a happy holiday.
Hug Samoa.
Shalom.
Thank you.
I struggle to try and hear what's going on. I struggle.